Hellman on CliffCentral.com.
Let's say hello to the rock stars of the Red Zone, which of course you can find on the Financial Mail. What's happening, Sabrina Forbes?
Hello.
Very, very good to see you again. And Courtney Hoyland.
What's up?
Yo, yo, yo. Okay. So we got some serious stuff to address today on the media pod. And of course, this is our sort of monthly what's happening in the world of media and marketing from a young perspective little thing that we do on coming on Cliff Central. And should we just go like balls to the wall and like get into the thing that is happening, but no one's really speaking about in terms of what's happening at agencies and creative agencies in South Africa? Should we just do it?
Yes. So Courtney and I, our day to day job is what we kind of spend the day doing is going and speaking to agencies, speaking to brands, and we're on the road all the time. And sometimes we speak about something specific, but other times it's just an hour of talking cuck, really. But while we're doing that, and I specifically try and pull a few trends or insights and trying to get the crux of what all of these agencies and brands are speaking about. And there's so many golden threads that I'm picking up on. But what I'm struggling to find, and an agency that I'm struggling to find, is one that's run by a young female leader.
And that's doing well.
That's doing well. That's making waves. I did speak to one today. This was probably the only one that I could find, a company called Soul Providers, and it's a female-led agency.
Mm.
And they are doing amazing things but struggling to be taken seriously in a white male-driven world. And it's something I want to bring up, and I think it's something we need to speak about.
I mean, it's a tricky one, I guess, because the whole media and marketing industry is trying to diversify itself and be more representative of the country. Even in the campaigns that advertising agencies are producing, they're trying to speak to, a nation as opposed to one group of people and reinvent itself. But what do you think it's going to take in order for agencies to turn it around and empower more women? Does it have to be legislated? Does it have to be brought to the fore by the different creative boards that sit in the country? I mean, what is it going to take?
Perhaps legislation and the creative boards, but I think to begin with, the agencies themselves and the heads of agencies need to ask themselves the question about what are they doing for future leaders, in young black future leaders as well as young female future leaders, whatever race. And at the moment, what we find in Courtney and myself, the people who are making the decisions are the top echelon of Agency X. They're not on the ground speaking to the consumers. They're not, figuring out what it is that people are looking for. And they're making these decisions without consulting the people that are actually physically doing the work, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. But I mean, Courtney, can an agency create a campaign, though, that is targeted at women if it's just men who are leading that creative process? I mean, is that, or do you lose some of the power of the campaign if it's a campaign directed at women? Because I would imagine that this is happening a lot, that you've got a man who's leading the creative on a campaign directed at women between 16 and 24. And like, what does he know about that? So he's got great skills, but what does he know about the audience?
I think to an extent, the communication, a message may be lost. I'm sure these agency male heads do have females working alongside them and giving them advice. But, yeah, I definitely feel that they won't be able to communicate 100% to their female target audience, and that may be a problem.
Sabrina, what's your take? Can creatives who are not the demographic of the people that they're trying to reach come up with creative that's going to hit that demographic as hard as it should?
For me, it's twofold. I believe that when you're coming up with a campaign, you need to almost do it with your consumer hat on, which I mentioned the last time we spoke. And imagine a 45-year-old white man trying to come up with a creative campaign for Lilettes. He can't put his consumer hats on because he's never going to use tampons.
Or feel the emotions behind that time of month.
Yeah, but I mean, are creatives ready to be this honest with themselves? We discuss this regularly it's difficult for me to say this because we work with so many different agencies. But if I'm being honest, advertising a lot of the time seems like an industry to congratulate itself. And very often misses the point of actually trying to push product. Just difficult to say that. But, But sometimes I feel that that is the case. I mean, are creatives really being honest enough with themselves? Are the agency heads looking into the mirror and actually seeing anything beyond themselves in quite an ego-driven space?
Mm. Yeah, the media industry is a very ego-driven space, and it is what it is, and you've got to deal with it. What I find quite surprising is that there are teams within one of some of the biggest agencies in South Africa who basically they come up with a campaign in order to enter it into the awards. And then once they have the campaign and the big idea, they then try and find a brand to plug into it, as opposed to looking at a brand's business problem and trying to solve that in a creative way.
So why are the brands signing off on that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
No clue.
As two women in media and in marketing who obviously have ambitions of, you know, doing unbelievable things in the space, maybe one day you would work at an agency. You never know what the future holds. Does it make you despondent when you look at the state of agencies and the lack of female representation in sort of the upper management of agencies?
For me personally, no. And something I was thinking of now was with my experience and seeing all these agencies every single day, I find that new agencies are popping up all the time. And it's mostly men who are working as partners within these agencies, then splitting and starting up their own agencies. And I don't know why the females aren't doing that, because I haven't come across any.
Yeah.
But I think that question is personal, but for me, I wouldn't be intimidated. I wouldn't look at it that way.
Yeah, what is it, when you walk into a meeting, have you ever experienced sort of, you know, I don't know, not being taken as seriously because you were a woman in one of these big boardrooms that you might sit in? Or is it something that's unsaid?
It's possibly unsaid. I've never experienced it myself, but possibly because I'm a bit of a bulldog and I demand.
That's why I said it's a personal thing. And I think we also, you know, I'm also like that. You know, I don't really care.
Yeah.
It's not something that I've felt, but it is possibly something that maybe if you were to be in an agency as a female and wanting to put forward an idea or something, it might not necessarily be taken as seriously as your male counterpart. And I don't want to come across as, you know, a complete feminist or anything, but it's something that I'm starting to see, and I would just love to see some more female creators out there creating their own destinies.
And look, this is part of a bigger conversation, and that conversation is that the model of agencies in South Africa needs to change. Now, needs is an interesting word, because does it have to be forced to change? Is it going to change by itself naturally in terms of agencies being able to deliver on performance indicators if they don't change? When we say that the agency model needs to change, is it going to change, number one, or does it have to be kind of backed into a corner in order for that change to happen?
It might very well be backed into a corner, because there are a few mavericks out there that are starting their own agencies and doing things differently from what they've learned not to do. And the big titanics of the world in time are going to realize that their model would have to shift to keep up with the times.
And that's because they're going to lose the accounts.
Lose staff who are being poached by the smaller, more dynamic, disruptive agencies, companies, media houses, etc.
Yeah. I think myself and Sabrina actually work on a publication called The Annual Ad Focus, and we've been trying to think of the theme this year. And it's been very challenging because the ad agency industry is all over the place right now. And I think, you know, a lot of things are very traditional and there isn't enough risk being taken, and I'm out of the box, I'm thinking, which is really important. I mean, myself and Sabrina had a meeting with a client who I won't mention, and we basically researched everything and pitched our ideas about what this brand can do at certain events and so forth, and she was so taken back, and she was actually like, you guys should be working for my ad agency, because they're so old school and they're so traditional, and, you know, they, I think, maybe a bit scared to think out the box and do things differently.
I think it's just that sometimes, you know, we've had this conversation and we'll continue to have it. Sometimes it becomes such a big machine, and the bigger the machine is, the more difficult it is for them to make a change. So Coca-Cola, if they decided they wanted to change their cans to blue, I mean, it's not like they just send one email and suddenly the cans are blue. It's a global thing that has to happen. And unfortunately, the Achilles heel of the big agencies perhaps is that they are so big that for them to adapt to a changing world with digital and everything.
And they need approval from...
Yeah, it's taking a long time. And I wonder if it's going to be too late when they kind of realize that. But then it seems like the brands who are signing on to those agencies are also very slow at changing. So maybe they're just going to be slow together. I don't know.
Also, if you think of... If I were to go work for an agency and I, as an accounts executive or in the client service side, I get given an array of clients.
Mm.
And it doesn't matter whether I affiliate myself to that brand or whether I'm passionate about the industry. For example, I had to do some work with L'Oreal Dark and Lovely. And as much as I love L'Oreal and I think Dark and Lovely is great, I'm not a black female and I've really struggled to understand what black females go through when it comes to their hair and braids and weaves and relaxers and how to be, you know, careful about over chemic, you know, putting too many chemicals into your hair and coming up with campaigns part like from a brief to a strategy.
Mm.
It was difficult for me, but I was given that client and I have no choice but to
execute.
With no experience.
Yeah.
So, I mean, some people would argue that then the research should back you up, but I think research in a day and age like this is getting harder and harder because of how much more people are being individuals, and it's difficult. I mean, if you survey a 26-year-old white male, you're not going to necessarily cover what my opinions are on something because he might be completely different to me, whereas a lot of people think that across the board, a 26-year-old white male, LSM, whatever, is exactly the same. But, you know, maybe my tastes are different to the person that you surveyed. And I know that you guys have just done some research recently. So let's talk about the research game and how that's changing and how one has to adapt research in the 21st century in 2016. And then some of the stuff that you've been finding in the research that you've been doing over at the Red Zone.
Well, the research that we did, we partnered with a company called Answered Insight. And the question that they posed to 6 key agency heads as part of their qualitative or quantitative. I can't remember which one it is, but
just those words have confused me since the beginning of time.
So they spoke first to 6 agency heads and then they pushed it out to media marketers and brand, you know, the brand people. And the question was whether the integrated agency model it's kind of like a buzzword at the moment of having one agency that offers full service.
360 degrees,
as opposed to having your agency and that then will go to the SEO expertise company to do their stuff and then maybe go
SEO, search engine optimization. Okay, yeah.
And it's quite an intricate thing. But now these agencies are trying to offer everything and whether it's going to work or not.
Yeah, they do your TV campaign and your social media and your Facebook and everything, yeah.
And whether that is going to be viable for a future model. What I remember taking out from the research is that agencies were scared or not quite sure about whether they can integrate simply because of the different cultural fits within agencies.
Mm.
Whereas brands primarily were just, they don't care who does the work, but just solve my business problem.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, yes, you can do pretty pictures and going back to, like we spoke about Don Draper and Mad Men last time. You've got these beautiful creative campaigns that win lures, but did it actually sell more chocolate or improve the call center rate of...
It is interesting, yeah. I mean, I was very naughty sort of a few weeks ago, and I brought this up with someone who's a very acclaimed sort of creative director at a big agency. And they kind of shot me down very quickly when it came to this idea of creating campaigns that just win awards by saying that, but what are we doing to nurture a creative industry? So their defense is that we need to nurture the idea of creative thinking, and brands are the vehicle to do that. And so in addition to doing the stuff that literally pushes the product off the shelf, it's also important to nurture the industry, which again, I thought was very self-indulgent, but I did hear the argument out a little bit. What other ways could we sort of amplify or enhance the creative industry and enhance and inspire creative thinking outside of brands fitting the bill for it though?
Maybe just giving your junior staff a chance to share their views and taking it into consideration. These people, everybody within an agency in any company, everyone comes from different walks of life. We've all had different experiences. We've had different upbringings. And instead of, I don't know, a creative director saying, this is how we're going to do campaign or strategy X, maybe just opening it up to a broader range of people.
Of people. Because a lot of young creatives you speak to, and Courtney, you'll tell me if I'm right or wrong here, they don't feel like you can grow at an agency. You have to keep hopping from one to the next because the career trajectory is somewhat tricky if you're a young creative starting out in terms of climbing that ladder.
Yeah. For me, I think it's very important for agencies to have individuals with different skill sets and switching those people to work in all the jobs, which goes back to the integration and collaboration argument.
Listen, it is a conversation that is ongoing, and that's why we do the media pod once a month. Indeed, the agency model is at a crossroads, and we continue that conversation every single month. Just wrapping up this this edition of the media pod, though, what are the important takeouts in terms of the conversation that we've had?
For me, if you're a young female and you know your shiz, let us see it.
And believe in it.
And believe in yourself. And just go and do it.
Yeah, I think being brave, taking risks, thinking out the box is crucial. And attaching like an emotional message to the consumer is always key.
And keeping the consumer at the forefront, which sometimes gets a little bit blurry.
Top of mind.
Yeah. I don't know. There's what's the big thing that's happening today? Is it the Bookmark Awards? Is it
the IAB and Digital Summit?
Just please tell me what that is, because I see it on Twitter, and I'm not fanciful when it comes to these media and marketing things. But what is that? What is going on today?
So it's basically a digital conference. Mm. So unpacking digital trends and challenges, and
this is a South African arm of it because it is a global affiliation.
So like the Digital Edge, if you've ever attended, I would believe it's very similar.
Yeah, I think that some of the tweets I was seeing I actually did quite like. They're speaking about how advertising budgets are going to be a lot more digitally driven in the future and so on and so forth. So one thing I can say about the industry is that there's constantly events happening and constantly, conversation happening, which is good. Just as long as that conversation is open conversation where everyone's hearing what the other person's saying and they're embracing younger minds as opposed to just reiterating what people in advertising have been saying for 25 years.
Traditional.
All right. I want to keep up with my good friends over at the Red Zone all day, every day. How do I do it?
So we are on Facebook and Twitter at...
At the Red Zone ZA. Facebook is just the Red Zone. And then you can find our website on Financial Mail. We're the media and advertising hub.
Fantastic. There you go. Rock stars out of the Red Zone, found on the Financial Mail. That's Sabrina Forbes there and Courtney Hoyland. It's Media Pod. We do it once a month. Conversations around being young in the youth, being young in the media and marketing industry. We'll do this all again real soon. You can keep the conversation going, though, by touching base with the Red Zone on social media. Ladies, thank you very, very much.
Cheerio.
Virgin Atlantic's new premium economy Dreamliner fleet seats don't just achieve at being sitting tools. They win awards for space and comfort, so you feel relaxed and revitalized to give it everything you've got when you land. Life doesn't come to you, so go to it. Book now on virginatlantic.com. Kelman on cliffcentral.com.